Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey.
Built by Bar Lumber. Go where the builders go.
When it comes to big or small projects around the home, Tony and Corey have the know-how and the answers to make your life just a bit easier. Here they are, the hosts of Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show, Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Your Weekend Warriors. I'm Corey.
And I'm Tony.
And today on the show, we're talking about garden beds.
It's the perfect time to be thinking about this because it's spring and the sun is coming out. We're getting the last of our rain in the Pacific Northwest. And it's time to start thinking about what we're going to be growing. Are you mowing what I'm growing, Corey?
I haven't mowed my yard yet, but it is definitely time.
Yeah.
Any day now, I need to get out there and start pushing that baby around. But it is a perfect time to build and install some garden beds.
Yeah, it's actually been going on for quite a while. Weeks, for at least the last 3 to 4 weeks, we've been selling a lot of raised garden bed material for customers who want to have their own vegetables or want to add an extra space for their flowers. But a lot of times, the ground that you have around your home is not, the best ground to grow in. But there are things that you can do to change that ground to make it a better growing space. And there's other things you can do, which is to put a raised garden bed on top of it and add your own soil, new soil.
That's right.
So we'll be talking about how to build raised garden beds, what species of wood are best to use for a raised garden bed, is pressure-treated material okay or is it not, what are the best ways to condition your soil, all of those things that go along with that, and what are the best things to be planting right now? Are you planting seeds or are you planting starts? Does your planter box need to be covered? Have we seen our last frost yet? All of those things that go into you having your own garden, maintaining it, and all of the information there. And we have with us today a garden expert, somebody who has had a successful garden for so long, and also an employee of Par Lumber Company, Steve Vose. How are you doing this morning, Steve?
Good, guys. How about you?
We are doing great. It's so great to have you on the show, and especially an opportunity to tap into your vast knowledge of growing things. I mean, I noticed when I looked at you this morning that your thumbs aren't green. I kind of expected that they would be, but I guess you wear gloves or you wash really good.
Well, I wear gloves, yeah. That is true. That keeps the dirt from the fingernails. But, there's a lot more than just green that grows. So
yeah,
a lot of other colors. So maybe you're just seeing all of them mixed together.
So just as a quick thought about your garden, which I'm sure you're very proud of, do you choose to have your garden above ground? Is it in raised garden beds? Or have you tilled up your ground and changed your soil in order to make it a better growing garden?
Well, I have both. I have a family farm, been in my family for over 100 years out in the Highland, Beaver Creek area. So I have the opportunity and the space to have a regular garden, a pretty good sized, about a quarter acre. But I also make use of raised beds. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can use raised beds for. And one of them, especially the lettuce group, they don't do too good, especially in the middle of the hot of the summer out in the open. So I've constructed some beds in an area that receives late afternoon shade, and I can grow my lettuce year-round. In fact, I grow a fall crop.
Wow.
And probably pick that near the end of October before I have to cover it or anything like that. That first frost does it in, so you got to keep an eye those cold nights in October.
I know that one of the things that is a perk, if you will, about raised garden beds is that you get that, from what I understand, if you build a raised garden bed, say out of cinder blocks, right? Cinder block raised garden bed, mm-hmm. that it really retains heat. And so that can be something that benefits plants that prefer more heat as opposed to less heat. Is that true?
Absolutely. More so than just heat, it's a consistent ground temperature. If it's too cold, roots are not going to be able to do their magic to send what they need to send to the rest of the plant for the different phases that plant's growing in.
Mm-hmm.
Same to be said about seeds germinating. If your ground's too cold, it ain't happening.
Right. Another thing that which I have alluded to once already, but another thing that's important is that people don't know what their ground is doing. They don't know, is their ground too acidic? Is there too much clay? Is it not conducive to growing? So I'd like to kind of expand a little bit on what you can do to determine the quality of your soil if you want to have a garden that's in the ground, and what you can do to change that, and then how the work and the cost compares to putting in a raised garden bed if that gives you enough space.
Sure. You know, there's no question that a raised garden bed concentrates your work effort in a smaller area. So you have a better chance to keep animals out, a better chance to keep weeds down. And especially if you make them a little higher, you know, your back's not as bad. And as we get a little bit older, that bending kind of does us in. But you're right. You know, soil content, and this is, I preach this to anyone who asks me about it. What is my secret? First thing is I determine what has happened to my soil in the past, what's happening now. One of the best resources I can tell anyone to do is get a cup of soil, take it to the Oregon State Extension Service field office. They will test that for you. There are also pH kits. pH balance can tell you a lot of things besides, you know, what your balance is. It can actually lead you to find out what is missing in your soil. And with the amount of rain that the Northwest gets, this region gets, with water that washes all your prior year's workout, because basically that's what it's doing. It's like a shower over the winter.
Mm.
It washes everything you do the year before. So the first thing I do is, how can I retain what I've done? How can I retain what I add to it and not go through the same setup the next year? But boy, I'm not kidding. Soil balance is the key to growing anything.
Yeah, there's a lot of nutrients in soil that is required to grow specific plants. You know, some of the things like nitrogen and phosphorus, potassium, calcium, magnesium, all of these things have to be present in the soil. And you said that you take your soil samples down to a place and they analyze it for free.
Yeah. Extension Service in Oregon City. That's my region, but they have a lot of field offices all over.
So we kind of speak to the entire Pacific Northwest region. What can somebody mail that, do you think?
Well, you know, I would say this for everybody outside of our region. There are a lot of different opportunities for you to take your soil to places. Now, I will say this, a lot of feed and seed, farm supply type places, that'd be a good source for you. The internet is huge. You know, I might know a lot over the course of my life, but I have made use since the internet has come along. I have doubled and tripled my knowledge, you know, and I grew up on a farm. I have several generations before me, and they pass that information down. I want to give a shout-out to my family. Thanks. I work too hard. But gardening is great. It's like, you know, it's therapy almost. But there are so many sources out there you can find out. But that is the key. And, you know, they have spring garden fairs where they provide that service.
And on top of that, gardening is very rewarding. I mean, you've created something with your own hands, and then you consume it, and it makes it extra special. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more about planting your garden beds and building your garden beds. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your Weekend Warriors. Stay tuned.
Listening to Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey, built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. Thanks for staying tuned. Today on the show, we're talking about building and planting raised garden beds. And on the show with us today, we've got a very special guest named Steve Vose. He's a lifetime farmer. He's a Par employee. He knows a lot about gardening. And one of the things we were talking about during the break is, why would somebody even want a raised garden bed? I kind of understand, you know, a little bit about it, but you've got some very specific things on why you would even want one.
Sure. I think the first question you got to tackle is why. And if you know the human species, that's got to have like 50,000 different meanings. But really, it makes efficient use of a limited amount of space. Let's say all you have is a balcony in an apartment. As long as you got that facing the sun, you could have a raised bed there. You know, like I said before, almost a 200-acre farm, I make use of guard beds, and it, mainly they're environmental factors for me. The biggest one is amount of sunlight and the type of sunlight. A lot of plants out there, I would say, especially leafy plants like, oh, say, salads and chards and stuff like that, they can't handle the afternoon sun. So some of the main reasons I have some is I like to have lettuce almost year-round. There's only a few months I can't grow it. You know, I put a temporary hoop over one of my garden beds, and I actually have lettuce producing almost a week or so right before Christmas, and that's about the last time I pull it out.
You put the hoop over it to retain heat inside there.
I do that, but more important than that, you have to make sure when you get that dew point and you start getting colder temperatures, so you start getting a frost,
mm-hmm.
you got to keep that moisture off those plants. You're done. I mean, literally, next day you go out there, a frost is on there, you're done. It's toast.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of work sometimes. So I can elongate my growing season more effectively in an area where I've got some raised beds.
So by putting in a raised bed, you're controlling when and how your crops come up.
Absolutely, and you can control your pests, you know, moles, gophers, other animals, get it up off the ground. You have a better chance of identifying slug patterns,
find out
where they're coming from.
Yeah, if you're building a raised garden bed, you have the opportunity to line the bottom of your raised garden bed with some mesh, like some galvanized mesh.
Absolutely.
Or something that would keep the moles from being able to come up into your soil and eat your carrots or whatever.
Absolutely. And I take it a step further on mine. I basically have 3-foot-tall garden beds. I don't like bending over a lot. You do it on a farm. I mean, it's a lot of work sometimes. It is rewarding, but there is a lot of work to it. But I build my bottom level like a deck, and I put a false bottom 12 inches up off the ground. I insulate it. And no matter if I use cedar or PT, I use both products. I line that with a landscape felt, and my beds last longer. I have 3 cedar beds that I built as a high school senior in 1976.
Wow.
They're still producing.
You
They're my main producers.
That? You're old. Just kidding, just kidding.
No, I don't think you are. We work together in the same office, so I guess I better watch what I say.
Yeah. So along with that, one of the things you said before is that you're producing your own food. You're eating this food, and
absolutely.
You know where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
You know what pesticides you're putting on it, if any.
None.
So, I mean, when you go to the grocery store, you really don't know what you're getting. And if you really want to eat organic, a lot of times you're paying a lot more for that produce.
That's right.
Not to mention with gas prices, the gas to get back and forth to the market. I mean, if you're saving trips to the market for vegetables and you know for a fact that the seeds that you've grown it from, you know, have a history on those. Like, you probably, if you grow from seed, are pretty particular about the seeds that you use.
I am very particular. Nothing genetically engineered whatsoever.
So I want to throw this out there because I just found out that our lovely government... I'm going to get political here for a minute.
Oh, boy.
It's all good.
Our lovely government just passed a law. President Obama just signed this into a law a couple weeks ago that genetically modified GMO seeds are now protected. The people that produce those GMO seeds are protected against any lawsuits. So they're modifying our food genetically to mm-hmm. make it grow faster, bigger, stronger, I don't know, and we have no recourse if that's given us cancer in 30 years.
That's absolutely, and dude, I'm telling you something else about those seeds, okay? These scientists have found a way to make sure those seeds don't last past a couple planting seasons, so you have to continually buy new seeds. Mm-hmm. I have seeds, I make use of heirloom and territorial seeds.
Mm-hmm.
I have seeds packets that are 4-5 years old. It's how you store them. No intense heat, no mm-hmm. low heat, very consistent heat. A basement's perfect for that. And they're still producing plants.
They advertise these seeds like Baker Creek, for example.
Baker Creek's another one,
is a great brand of seeds. They have heirloom seeds.
Yeah.
And they advertise and they say, hey, these seeds are your great-great-grandparents' seeds. They have literally had vegetables from years and years ago that they have grown their crop, taken the seeds out of the first crop, saved those seeds, right?
Yeah.
And then used those seeds to grow more, and then they've just continued to do that year after year. And these seeds are what they call heirloom seeds. These are absolutely exactly what you want them to be.
Exactly,
just
because they grew there.
Yeah,
so they know what is needed.
I want to throw this out there, too.
Yeah.
There's a documentary out there called Food, Inc.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Food, Inc. is probably one of the most interesting documentaries I have ever seen. And it talks a lot about GMO seeds. It talks a lot about the livestock as well. But one of the things that they talk about is exactly what you said. These GMO seeds are controlled. And these guys, they make them. They genetically modify them. And they don't last. And you have to buy your seeds. One of the big ones is soybeans. This huge company manufactures these soybean seeds. And if they catch you growing these seeds and you didn't buy them from this company, they'll shut you down.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to, I want everybody out there, if you've got Amazon Prime or Netflix, check out Food, Inc. It's on demand in a lot of places, and it will open your eyes.
There are things you will stop eating.
Yeah.
Period. We've removed them from our house.
So there are a lot of benefits to growing your own vegetables and knowing what has gone into them from the seed all the way to your plate and what's in your soil that they're growing in. You're in control of the product that you use to build your raised beds. You're in control of everything that happens to it from the beginning to the end. And there's a sense of comfort in there. There's a sense of reward in there. Plus, you're saving money.
Right. And when the zombie apocalypse hits, we'll all be having our own food. We won't have to worry about it.
Well, the zombies aren't going to eat veggies, right? Zombies
That's right.
are carnivores. You only have one thing to worry about with them. You
know? I'm going to Steve's house as soon as the zombie apocalypse hits.
Well, if it does, I'm telling you, I'm going to plow any remaining hay fields under, and then everybody comes out, they got to help me grow food.
Yeah, I'm down.
All right, you down with
too.
That?
All right, so we've talked about the benefits, obviously, of growing your own food. Let's talk about how to do it. You said, you know, we were talking about soil and the different methods, but I'd say the easiest way to do it is to build it out of pressure-treated lumber. We know that grows lasts a long time. But
long time.
One of the cool things, cool products that Par Lumber sells is a rough sawn 2x10 cedar. It's a full 2 inches by 10 inches tall, and it's available at every Par Lumber for about a little under $2 a foot.
Yeah, about $1.75 a foot.
Between $1.75. I think our prices just went up on it because it's so popular. But you can buy these things in anywhere from 8 to 20 feet, and you can build a raised garden bed for $30.
And this product is a couple of really great things about it. It's chemical-free, first of all, because it's raw cedar. And cedar, because of its makeup, because of its the tannins that are inside of it, has a natural preservative that runs inside the wood, and that makes it a great product for outside and also for raised garden beds. So we're going to talk some more about different species of wood and other types of things you can build your raised beds out of when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your Weekend Warriors.